I'm Carson Stooley. With me is Fangraphs Managing Editor Dave Cameron, and this is the Pitch Talks Blue Jays Podcast. Episode 2, Dave Cameron.
The second one. We did not screw up the first one so badly that it was discontinued immediately.
Right, and who would have discontinued it? It is Kevin Kennedy of Homestand Sports, in particular, the facilitator of the Pitch Talks events.
Yeah. I think they used to be called a speaker series, but like they're not. It's not TED Talks in the sense that like someone's just talking at you. It's baseball discussion,
right? And before we get into
with beer, I should mention
yes, libations of all sorts.
Right.
And I think that we are contractually obligated before we discuss the Blue Jays briefly to mention that the Pitch Talks are events that have come to various cities. There's actually one this evening in Toronto.
Yeah. I'm sure Mark Shapiro is really looking forward to meeting with a lot of angry, drunk Blue Jays fans.
Right. Mark Shapiro is the sort of person who will be there. And we could ask if this, we will get to in a moment if their anger is justified, I suppose. That might be the sort of lens through which we view this particular conversation. There are events, however, coming up next week, next Monday, April 24th. There's a Pitch Talks in Cleveland.
They're happier.
Which will feature, for example, Jordan Bashan, I believe, who writes for MLB.com. That's right.
Correct.
Yep. And then there will be one in Kansas City later that week.
I love that you didn't even mention that Travis Sochik of some site called Fangraphs.com will also be at the Cleveland show.
Oh, is Travis Sochik going to be in Cleveland?
Yeah.
Travis Sochik is a writer for Fangraphs.com, previously wrote for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, is also the author of Big Data Baseball, and is a hell of a guy.
Yeah, and he's from Cleveland, if you're wondering why he's going to the Cleveland show.
Right, and I think he might write for the Athletic.
He writes for the Athletic Cleveland channel. Yeah.
There's also a Pitch Talks event, which will feature, among others, I can say, Jeff Passan.
Yeah, not Passan. Don't call him Passan.
That's next Thursday. And Jeff Passan, of course, wrote The Arm about one of the major body parts that's used in baseball. he's moving on to the leg next, and then the buttock, presumably, at some point.
And then when he does a Barry Bonds profile, it'll be called The Dick.
The neck, right. Yeah. The what, sorry?
Not
the neck?
No, no. Yeah, the other thing that ends in cut.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough.
Yeah.
So those are all available at homestandsports.com/upcoming-shows, or you could just click on events if you don't want to go directly to the URL. Right. Therefore, we have satisfied all of our obligations to Kevin Kennedy, who is the person for whom we do these shows. Dave Cameron, you and I, as mentioned in the inaugural episode last week, we both write for Fangraphs.com.
We do.
And we have been hired here as baseball, as analytical mercenaries, to provide as an objective a possible analysis about the Toronto Blue Jays.
How much objective analysis are you thinking you're going to provide on the show?
I will be asking you to provide objective analysis and to answer objectively questions that I ask you, Dave Cameron.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. Last week, I'll remind you, Dave Cameron, during the inaugural episode last week, that the team had gone 1-5 over its first six games.
That's bad.
You said it's not
objectively true.
Right, it was bad, and you said, and that didn't put him in a great space. However, they were still a decent team, and in particular, they had two bright spots in Josh Donaldson and Aaron Sanchez.
Yeah.
Will you please report to me what has happened in the week since?
So after starting, we're going 1-5 in their first week. They repeated that, going 1-5 in their second week. So they're now 2-10, and then both Josh Donaldson and Aaron Sanchez went on the disabled list.
Okay, right. All right. So not great news.
So we thought they had a bad first week, and they were like, "Hold my beer! Watch how bad I can have a second week."
Okay, so now you wrote a piece at Fangraphs.com this past week, in which you discussed what you characterized as the Blue Jays' quandary.
Upcoming quandary,
the choice that they would have to make is whether they would be essentially selling off some of the more attractive parts of their roster, because they had, as you mentioned last week on the program, they have a number of aging players, and they do have some core players around whom they can build, but it's not going to make a lot of sense to keep paying and retaining these older players if it's only to have a bad team. Which all of which could mean they're not going to re-sign Josh Donaldson as well, because he's probably going to want to play for a competitive team as well. So there is a quandary. Quandary is the exact right word. Now, some people responded both in the comment section and also via social media platform Twitter.com. They said, look at what Dave Cameron is doing. He's already suggesting that the Blue Jays might need to conduct a fire sale after six games into the season. What is the justification that you would give for bringing up such a point only six games into the season? It's only six games, Dave Cameron, is what they'd say.
Right. So I was certainly not suggesting this is to conduct the fire sale immediately. Like, they shouldn't just call teams and be like, Jose Batiste is available. What will you give me for a 36-year-old who's hitting 100 with no power? Obviously, this is a speculative thought about what they might have to decide to do in a few months' time. So you give this roster a couple months to straighten itself out, and you see what happens, and you figure things out probably after the draft, right? So, like, early June, you get all your scouts through the draft. You kind of get your organizations resettled after the draft, which takes up a remarkable amount of time and man effort. And then you say, okay, where are we in mid-June? Now what do we start doing with our scouts? Do we start going to scout other teams' major league rosters and looking to add for the stretch run? Or are we going to go scout other teams' minor league systems and prepare to trade veterans for prospects? And so you've got a couple months to let things play out. But I think the main thrust of the post was that the Blue Jays have dug themselves a significant hole, which has only gotten larger since the post was written. I think now, as of this morning, when we're recording on Monday the 17th, the Blue Jays playoff odds are now at like 11.8%, which puts them in like the similar range as like the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Oakland A's, neither of whom are expected to be contenders this year. I think we
have, and where did they start, by the way?
52%.
Oh, my.
Yeah, we started them as the fourth best team in the American League, and now their projected record is like the 12th best team in the American League. And this kind of brings up the idea of, like, this is not a bad team, right? We're not looking at this and being like, the Blue Jays went 2-10, therefore we should make conclusions about their talent level. It's just that now they've dug themselves a huge hole which they have to climb out of just to get back to where we thought they were at the beginning of the season. You know, to get back to 500 now requires a couple of months of good quality baseball. And then by the time they get back to 500, which is where they were on opening day, everyone else who was a good team will be ahead of them. And so they have a lot of ground to make up and not nearly as much time to make up that ground as you would think.
Now, is it reasonable to say, I suspect I know the answer, but is it reasonable to say, well, this has been, now we had him as like a slightly over, you know, as a team that was expected to produce over a 500 record. Yes, they've gone 2-10 so far, but perhaps they have a 10-2 waiting for them in the near future.
Yeah, so that's basically what you described as called the gambler's fallacy. This is the idea that a bad run of sorts will be offset by a good run, and that over long stretches, these like cold streaks and hot streaks even out. So that if you begin with a cold streak or if you have a cold streak, then you can expect the odds to swing in your favor in the near future, so that you can get back to kind of your equilibrium. That is objectively not true. If you look at any kind of data and kind of look at how this actually plays out, this is not how it works. And so when we're looking at what the Blue Jays should do going forward, they very, very, very well may have a 10-2 run in them that would get them back to 500. But in order to think that 10-2 run will kind of equal things out, you have to think that there's not another 2-10 coming, right? So you have to think that there's one more hot streak that they're due for now than cold streaks. So like if you think there's like five hot streaks and four cold streaks, or six hot streaks and five cold streaks, whatever, you have to think that there's one more good run in the future than there is bad run. And there's literally no reason to believe that for any team. You should basically expect that whatever their talent level is, they're going to have some negative performances and some positive performances around that, and those should even out going forward. And what has already happened in the past has no control over how many of those hot and cold streaks you have going forward.
Okay, now, and there's also the question of what their true talent might be today as opposed to what it was 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Now, obviously, this is something that it is constantly fluctuated. Even if you have the same players on the roster, the question of their actual true talent, if you could measure such a thing, is obviously constantly fluctuating based off of, you know, a number of factors. But, you know, all the players are slowly aging. They're also slowly developing. and perhaps getting better, especially if they're on the upward swing of, on the age curve. So there's a lot going on. But the roster has actually changed, I think you could argue, right, somewhat dramatically just in the last week because of the loss both of Aaron Sanchez and Josh Donaldson to the DL.
Yeah, I mean, so Sanchez's thing sounds minor. It's a blister. With the new 10-day disabled list, it's very easy to just have a guy skip a start. That's effectively all you're doing is you're taking him out of the rotation for one turn. So we don't know what Sanchez's issue is going to be long-term. The Donaldson one's more worrisome, right? Because, like, down the stretch last year, he was obviously playing through some leg problems that prevented him from playing the field and being as valuable as he's been and playing as regularly. And then in spring training, he missed a couple weeks with leg problems. And now he's saying it's a different kind of leg problem, but that's not encouraging. This is now in kind of his last couple months of baseball, his third leg issue that has forced him to miss time. And so if you're the Blue Jays and you're not sure, one, how healthy Josh Donaldson is, and two, how well he'll be able to play the field even when he's healthy enough to hit, well, that's a problem because you signed Kendrys Morales to be a full-time DH. So, yeah, they can play Morales at first base because they don't really have a good first baseman. But Morales is not really a regular first baseman, and there's a reason he spent most of his career at DH. So that's weakening your team. Your backup third baseman is Darwin Barney. Like, you might say, like, Justin Smoke is terrible, but if the machinations to get Donaldson back in the lineup involve replacing Smoke with Darwin Barney, your offense didn't get better.
Now, with regard to Donaldson, obviously he's well known as a sort of pioneer of swing mechanics, or I should say, like, employing what might be considered unorthodox swing mechanics to great effect, right?
Sure.
Is there any reason to believe that his leg injuries might be a product of his great enthusiasm or maybe somewhat unconventional path to his swing?
No.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I was just, so the answer is no.
Is the answer is no.
Says.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. There's no reason to think they're related whatsoever.
Now, we mentioned how Mark Shapiro actually will be at the Pitch Talks event that is occurring this evening. And then you mentioned that there might be some angry Torontonians, who gather to, hopefully not to perform violence upon his person. Would they be justified to do so, though? I mean, no, not the violence. Anger justified, I suppose, is the question I mean to ask.
I mean, I think it's frustrating to be a fan in this situation where you feel like your organization got close, but you have not yet made that big, deep World Series run that you were hoping for. I think Blue Jays fans were pretty frustrated this winter when Edwin Encarnacion took less money to sign with the Cleveland Indians than the Blue Jays offered him because they jumped on Morales early. Encarnacion's a beloved figure in Toronto. He's not hitting very well in Cleveland. It's not that Encarnacion would have saved him from the start. But there was already some frustration bubbling from, how the front office handled the winter and kind of how things played out. And now you have a slow start, like, leading to the idea that, like, potentially this team might not be good enough to climb out of this hole. Even if they play, 5-25 baseball the rest of the year, that only gets them back to 500 by the end of the year. And, if they're below 500 in July, I don't think they can justify adding to this roster and giving up more future value for short-term value. And if you're not adding, you're probably subtracting. And so now, at that point you have a failed attempt to contend that has delayed the rebuild and probably caused you to the Tulowitzki and Russell Martin contracts are probably harder to move now than they would have been over the winter when both of those guys were coming off solid enough years, or Russ Martin coming off a pretty good year. So now the organization's kind of short-term future could be in doubt, because now if you're rebuilding, you're probably not keeping Josh Donaldson, and so if you're trading Josh Donaldson, then why are you keeping Aaron Sanchez? And it opens a lot of a big can of worms in terms of, like, could this team be pretty terrible pretty soon if they end up trading off significant pieces?
Is there anything that we could look to from Mark Shapiro's past as a baseball executive? I think, general manager and president of Cleveland, it's now his role with Toronto, that would tell us how he might conduct essentially a sell-off, a rebuild, et cetera? Or is it a fairly standard template now for front office types?
No, I think what we've seen with Shapiro, and one of the reasons I think he was probably brought in, was he has maybe a more sustainable long-term perspective in terms of he would rather be good every year or as many years as possible and give his team a chance to get to the playoffs and then just kind of let things happen as they happen in the postseason rather than pushing all his chips in on one year. So theoretically or reportedly one of the primary reasons that Alex Anthopoulos left and did not want to work under Mark Shapiro was they had a disagreement about what Anthopoulos did in his final year as GM when he made the David Price trade. He made the Tulowitzki trade. He made push-in trades in order to try and take what was already a pretty good team and give them the best chance to win in October. Mm-hmm. Shapiro's not that kind of executive. He is much more of a let's just kind of stay above average and try and give ourselves as many chances of reaching the playoffs and then hope we just have a good run in October rather than saying, this is our year, let's go, balls to the wall. Like, that's not what Mark Shapiro is going to do.
Now, with the addition of a second wild card, which creates an even sort of lower barrier of entry into the postseason, does it actually maybe make sense for any club to conduct themselves that way?
Yeah, but I think that's one of the issues now is, like, especially if you're not, if you don't think you're in a good position in July in order to win your division, how much do you really want to give up for a one-game playoff, right? Like, you can say, okay, well, we have a good team. We think we can, you know, make a good playoff run, but it has to begin with basically a coin toss, right? Like, you're going to play some other good team in a single game where that team gets to either throw their best pitcher or get to bullpen you. And, you know, just to kind of throw a bunch of relievers at you the whole game. I think the Blue Jays realistically got a little bit lucky last year. Like, they went to the one-game playoff, and Buck Showalter didn't use Zach Britton. That's never going to happen again. You want to be in a situation where you're in the one-game playoff, and this time Buck Showalter or all the other managers in baseball has learned his lesson, and Zach Britton comes in the sixth inning. I don't think you want to be in that spot. So I think if you're, you know, hanging around 500 and you're saying, okay, I have an older roster, I have to make a buy or sell decision, and I think the upside of going for it is that I get into a one-game playoff, that's it's hard to justify giving up real pieces of your future to try and get one game to get into the postseason.
Now, the next week for the Blue Jays is not it's not a particularly easy one. Insofar as they begin by playing the Red Sox,
yeah.
And they'll have to face the reigning Cy Young champion Rick Porcello, who's probably the third best starter on the team, and then they face Chris Sale in the third game of the series, and then they have to go to the West Coast to play out there. So that's not particularly easy. How soon will the wheels be put in motion, or would the wheels be put in motion? If they continue to remain, sort of on the weekend of this start.
I mean, I think the franchise is going to try and continue to win as much as possible this year until after the draft, right? Like, the draft is really kind of the breaking point for most major league teams. Is they say we're going to give our team 2 months. We're going to see what we're going to evaluate then. So no, they're not going to like shut Josh Donaldson down if they could lose 7 in a row. They're not going to just be like, well, let's pull the plug on all this thing. But if it's like, you know, June and they're 10 games under 500, like, you know, after 2 months of the season, at that point, you'll probably see them sending their scouts out to go evaluate other teams' farm systems and admitting this isn't their year. And since this isn't their year and this is an older roster, perhaps it's time to undertake a forward looking rebuild.
Okay. Now, you did mention, and this is the last thing I'll ask you before we get going, you did mention the possibility of changing roles at first base. I seem to remember the presence of Rowdy Tellez.
I don't know if it's Tellez or Tellez
maybe, yeah. We can mispronounce any name.
That's David true. Cameron.
Yeah. Is there any sense to seeing what he's about yet, or is it too early?
Too early. I mean, at this point, I don't think Justin Smoak's any good, but Steve Pierce is not an everyday left fielder, so he's going to need to get some starts at first base to call Tellez up. If you think that you might have to play Morales at first base some, if Donaldson needs to DH, there's not enough at bats there. Like, if Morales is going to play first base some, Pierce is going to play some first. Tellez, I think, is an interesting prospect. At the same time, he also doesn't project to be a dramatic upgrade from what they already have. This isn't a case where, you know, Chris Bryant was sitting in AAA when the Cubs were playing Mike Holt. Like, Tellez is not that kind of prospect. He's an interesting bat who could be part of the future, but he is best served playing every day, at least for the first half of the year. And if Smoak is still terrible and Donaldson's healthy enough to play third and somewhere else can DH, maybe you look at him in the second half, but not as a short-term option.
We did also discuss last week the relative lack of depth in the rotation. It does appear as though reports are coming out now, where they came out after the game on Sunday. I guess Jay Happ had to be removed from the game because he was feeling discomfort in the middle of the game in his elbow. He's going to be undergoing an MRI, which does not seem promising either.
Right. So you've already got Sanchez at least missing one turn with a blister, Hap potentially. If you're having an MRI, you're almost certainly missing your next turn, so he's going on the DL too. This is already a team that only had five major league starters. So now you're calling up Matt Latos, I guess, to make a stern. You're going to go back with Mike Bolsinger. Like, if this is 40% of your rotation, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Dave Cameron.
You're welcome.
You're Dave Cameron, the managing editor of Fangraphs.com. I'm Carson Sestouli. This has been the Pitch Talks Blue Jays Podcast.